Good morning, First Grace. Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 40.
Oh, you know, it's only five verses long. This very familiar five verses. And we've heard it so many times, it's kind of, you know, we just kind of have to take a deep breath. It's much like this song that Minister Jackson and Nicole and Rebecca gathered with our tweens and youth on Wednesday night and had our tween and youth choir. And they took that old song about Jesus loves me, and they made it sound like this. Now, you know, I don't sing because I can sing. I can't help myself. That's why I sing. But it went something like this. And wait till you hear the tween and youth do it. It says, I am just a kid, and I'm here to let you know. Jesus loves me, so the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I know he loves me, for the Bible tells me so. It tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. I know he loves me, for the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so. That is a big part of what this scripture is about. Let us pray. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for Martha and her sister Mary, who never seems to get to say anything. And thank you for Jesus, who has come to remind us about the better part. Open us up again to these familiar words, these words from Luke, and let us hear them the way that we need to hear them, as your disciples and as your church. We ask this in the name of the Christ who lives among us. Let the people say, Amen. Today in these five verses, we see that Martha is still working in the kitchen. On Labor Day weekend, Martha's still in the kitchen like a lot of America. Amen. And once again, we hear Jesus say these familiar words to Martha. Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. And he never explains what the better part is. He trusts you with that. This time around, these five verses have led me to this axiom. At some point in our lives, we will lose touch with the better part. We will lose touch with the better part of what it means to be a father or a mother, what it means to be a sister or a brother, the better part of what it means to be a friend or a neighbor, the better part of what it means to be an American. Perhaps even lose touch with the better part of just being alive. If you only buy your wife flowers on Valentine's Day, there's a very good chance that you have lost touch with the better part of what it means to be married. Amen? If the only encouraging words you have for your child day after day is hurry up, you may have lost touch with the joy of being a parent. Amen. If you're the boss and the only time you buy donuts is the day before Christmas because you haven't bought any other presents, you may have lost touch with the joy of leadership. Amen. Martha, the way I hear this story this week is that this is truly Martha's story. In fact, Martha has been sitting around at kitchen tables all over her town, telling other women and men this story. This is her story. And she actually tells them, she says, this is my dream. I have this reoccurring dream. And if you know anything about dreams, the dreamsayers will tell you that oftentimes the characters in a dream are not other people. They are manifestations of your person that you're looking at out there. And Martha says, I keep having this dream and there's three people in it. Me and Mary and Jesus. And she gives this witness at kitchen table after kitchen table. And at one of those kitchen tables, Luke was sitting there and wrote it down. And Martha says, in my dream, I can see this person that is my sister. But she never says anything. And I know it's a mirror image of me. And I can't feel it over there. But I sense that it's over there with Jesus. It never speaks. It has that dreamy silence to it. And Martha says, the only feeling I have in this dream is the feeling that is strongest with me in real life. Resentment. I resent my life and I resent my sister. But I can see this thing, this part of me over there with Jesus. And I know this part of me is sacred and it is beautiful, but I cannot reach it and it does not speak. She tells her friends and she tells Luke, the closest I can get to it is night after night when Jesus comes to me in this dream. She says, I resent things, and I have that feeling deep in me. It comes to me in this dream. And I think, after all, I'm the one who's feeding everybody. I'm the one who's paying the bills. I'm the one who's getting you dressed for school. I'm the one who's making the hard decisions. I'm the one who's trying to organize all these men, these 12 disciples, who couldn't find first base for the life of them. Look at me, world, and look at my shiny cyborg self with my Starbucks in this hand and my cell phone attached to my ear in the other hand and marching down the sidewalk expecting everyone just to move out of my way. And when I get to the secretary, if she's lucky, I'll just give her a little nod as I pass by into my all-important office and do my all-important things. Martha says, it's like I try to bend the whole world to my will. And when the world doesn't bend to my will, I resent the world. I resent my sister. I resent myself. I even resent Jesus. Resentment is the wedge that keeps us from healing. It's the wedge between the kitchen that you're in and Jesus in the other room. Pastor, I'm with you, but what's the better part? What's the better part that Jesus is talking about? Well, you tell me. You tell me what the better part is. Why did you marry that man after all? Because he had thick black hair, he was really handsome, and he once looked like Tom Cruise? Is that why you married that man? Maybe that had something to do with it, but we know this too shall pass. Amen. Why did God give you those children so you could tell them to hurry up? Why did God bring you to this church, to your neighborhood? Why has God placed you in that place of employment? So much of Christian integrity is articulated in how we relate to one another. What kind of relationships will I have with the people that God puts in my places again and again? Do we bend the world to our will, or do we let Christ bend the world back to God? Augustine says that in Jesus Christ, God tried to bend the whole world back to his goodness. I hope that you take the time to see The Butler. I saw it on Monday, and there's so much that could be said about it. Let me just focus on this. First of all, whatever criticism that movie is getting, I hope that Lee Daniel makes $1 billion, and I hope he tithes 10% to this church. Amen? That's all we want, is that 10%. I really do. But I want, if you've seen the movie or if you haven't, I want us to remember the relationship between the father and the oldest son. It can be described by one word: resentment. We can blame the times, and there's surely plenty to blame about the times, but it has been my experience that what Lee Daniels depicted in that movie between father and son is all too common. Amen? A father resenting his son because the son will not bend to the father's will. The father exerting his will because the father knows best and because of all that the father has sacrificed so that the son might have a better life. And the son resenting the father for not allowing him to make the choices that sons and daughters have to make to grow up and to become men and women. And the son disregarding what his father has done, what has gone before him, and shamefully trying to bend his father to his childish will. If you're in the audience, if you have that perspective, or if you're Jesus, it's so easy to see in the movie. And it is easy from that perspective to love both of them. But close up and personal, it feels more like Martha's story. The closest they can get to the better part of their relationship is the resentment, the wedge that is right between them. These predicaments do not happen overnight. Life adds up. So a couple weeks ago, I told you why God broke my arm. Remember? Jamel came to me and needed a little extra work, and I said, I should have him cut my grass, but I said, no, I want to cut the grass. Of course, the grass never got cut, but I did pray to God, give the young man the break that he needs. I went and got the bike out of the shed, tried to pedal through the high grass, tried to get the old leg up over the middle bar. I got it, snap, crackle, pop. I went to the doctor on Thursday, and this is what he told me. He says, well, I got good news and bad news. Basically, he wanted to confirm that God broke my arm both for Jamel and for my son. He said, you got two breaks. You got one right there that we saw a couple weeks ago, and you got this ugly one that goes like this. And he said, I couldn't see it. It's a different angle. I said, it's all right. I understand completely. You see, our children's school has moved so close to our house that we can walk our children to school. Can you imagine? We get to walk our children to school, but here's the problem. It takes me 10 minutes to walk to that school. When I'm with my son, it takes 20. The kid wants to smell every rose, every dead cockroach, every break in the sidewalk. Everything is a magnet for a 6-year-old. And there we go, zigzagging all the way to school. I get to do this twice a week. So after a couple times of that, I thought, I'm going to go in that shed and get the old bike out. I'm going to pump up those tires, and I'm going to sit him on that middle bar, and I'll just ride him to school. It'll take 5 minutes. So that's what I did. Snap, crackle, pop. And I'm grateful. This is how God works. God comes into our dreams, comes into our broken arms, and tries to offer us the better part. Now, me and my two children twice a week have a nice, leisurely walk to school. And if I walk too fast, guess what? My arm hurts. So off we go. The better part is everywhere to be had. It is everywhere to be had. Walking gratefully to school with your children, seeing your neighbors as neighbors and not as intruders, having a dream in the not yet, but living it in the right now. It's everywhere. The better part is in that moment when after years and years you overcome your resentment and father and son find each other, like in the butler. Martha now is sitting at the table and she's finishing her story about her dream. And she says, you know what the best part of this is for me? She says, I know that Jesus has not come to judge me. That Jesus loves me. And once I know that, I judge myself and what I've done so harshly. I don't need Jesus to judge me. He has come to reconnect me with the better part so that I might have better days ahead. Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, he loves me. For the Bible tells me so. It tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, he loves me. For the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, First Grace, and so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen.